Thank you for joining us at Sharon Baptist Church today. We're about to hear a message from Pastor James Strickland. Now, if you'd like to find out more about us, you can find us online at SharonBaptistConcord.com. There you can watch other sermons, listen to audio, and even get directions to come visit us. We are open tomorrow at 10:45. We'll have temperatures taken at the door and face masks available. If you're not comfortable with that, feel free to join us on Facebook. We live stream our services. You can find us on Facebook at Sharon Baptist Concord. Now, I got a chance to sit down with the pastor and talk about the next two radio broadcasts. Pastor James Strickland, can you tell us more about what you're going to talk about?
You ever thought about the word guilt?
Of course.
I know that you have, because everyone at some point in time in their life, past or present, has either faced a situation of feeling guilty about something. Maybe sometimes the way the person has lived, maybe sometimes what the person has done, or maybe sometimes some deed a person had committed, some sin, some act, some lifestyle, and they really feel guilty about that. And it just really puts a great burden on that person as to what to do about that guilt complex in their life. So everybody has to face that. Well, on one side of guilt, it is good that God gives us a sense of guilt to let us know that we're sinners, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're guilty in that. And the wages of sin is death. We know that. But the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We know that. God tells us that in His Word. But He tells us there's a remedy for the guilt that everyone faces at some point in time in their life. In the messages we're going to conclude in just a couple of sessions, we're going to deal with the subject of grace for past guilt. Grace is the answer for past guilt in everyone's life, not just mine or yours. And we're going to use the Apostle Paul as an example as he gives at least a portion of his life's testimony, how he came to know the Lord and what happened in his life when all that guilt of what he had been. He even said himself that he wasn't even worthy to be called a Christian because he had been a persecutor of the church and he had profaned the name of Jesus Christ, and that certainly if you put people in a line of sinners, he said, I'd have to be the chief, or I'd have to be at the front of the line. Well, many times we feel like that too, but I sincerely doubt that any of us would have to admit that we were a worse sinner than was the Apostle Paul. You've got to remember, Paul was headed toward Damascus to arrest Christians, bring them back to Jerusalem in chains for execution if possible. And so he had a lot of guilt about that kind of lifestyle he lived. He sincerely thought he was doing the right thing, but he was sincerely wrong. And the Lord met him on the road to Damascus and proved to him that he was wrong, and he accepted Jesus Christ. And so the guilt he carried up to that point was gone in his life.
So what would you recommend if someone's carrying a bunch of guilt around?
If you're carrying a sense of guilt in your life, there's a remedy for it, there's a victory for it, there's grace for it, and God promises it's sufficient for you and for me. So you don't have to live your life under a real burden of guilt about maybe what you've done, how you've lived, what sin you've committed, or that you've done something so horrible, horrendous that God would not forgive you of that particular act or, you know, sin or deed. So there is grace for you. If the Lord was sufficient grace to save Paul, who said, I'm the chief of sinners, surely God's grace is sufficient for us for all our past guilt. We're going to deal with that, hopefully, and looking at Paul's life in the past and looking at Paul's life in his present, and we'll be looking at those things so that you can have the victory just as surely as Apostle Paul had it.
Wow, that's something. And you know, I've read in the, or I've heard on the news that there's just this rise in suicide. Do you think that maybe it's because people are like, oh my, I can't believe this is happening. I can't believe I didn't save. I can't believe I didn't get ready. I didn't get prepared. Oh, what is it? Or what have I done? And they say there's a rise in suicide. There's a rise in domestic violence too, which is surprising. I mean, you'd think people would be happy to be home with their families, but domestic violence is going up, but definitely the suicide rate. Do you think guilt plays into that in any way?
I think guilt plays a definite portion and part in the, you know, rise of suicide rates. Some people feel that, you know, they've done something so horrible that God won't forgive them, so they just say, boy, well, the easy way out is just to take my life. Well, that's not an out at all. That's not the easy way, nor is that a way out. That's a failure to trust the Lord Jesus, who promises us that His grace is sufficient for our every need. So there's a lot of guilt that just builds up in people's lives when it's not dealt with. It's got to be dealt with. I'll say this. If you don't allow the Lord Jesus to deal with the guilt in your life or my life, it certainly will deal with you. And it ends sometimes in suicide, which is not the answer at all.
Oh, and that's definitely not the answer. And the sin, if you come to Christ, the sin has got to go. Some people just keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over again, and they feel like they can't ever break through. I mean, can they? Is there hope for them?
You think about the word grace. There's a song that talks about God's amazing grace and how awesome it is. Well, there's no other way to describe the wonderful grace of God except it is awesome and it's amazing. And certainly none of us deserve, there's nothing you could do to earn God's grace. You can't inherit God's grace. You can't work for God's grace. It's a gracious gift that God chooses to bestow upon us. And none of us would be counted worthy if we had to count on our worthiness. So as far as living a lifestyle, you could just say, I can live such a good life that, you know, God will accept me. Well, performance-based acceptance doesn't work in the spiritual realm. It's free grace of our precious Lord because He chose to love us and extend His grace to us. It's our responsibility then to accept that grace and forgive ourselves as God has already forgiven us in Christ. And don't carry that sense of guilt around. We hope we can help you with that and share some things in the messages that are going to be following from the life of the Apostle Paul.
Well, Pastor Strickland, I'm looking forward to it. And so without further ado, part one of From Guilt to Grace.
I want to preach a message today, Lord willing, and Holy Spirit help us, on a subject that I'm sure that every single one of us has maybe at one time struggled with, and that's the subject of guilt. I want to preach about grace for past guilt. I'm sure if you've ever experienced that, you'll understand quickly what I'm talking about. If you've never experienced that, guilt from past life or past experience, I hope you never will. But if you do, and if you have, or if you ever will, God has a remedy for it. He has grace for past guilt. If you will turn with me, please, in the first epistle of Timothy, chapter number 1. Here Paul gives a personal testimony, a personal kind of a biographical sketch, if you will, of his own life and how he gives us the assurance to the Spirit of God that there's always grace in our lives if you ever have experienced or are experiencing guilt in your life. 1 Timothy chapter number 1, look at verse number 12 through verse number 16. Paul writes and he says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord." We could just stop there and say hallelujah and go home, couldn't we? There's a message enough right there, thanking the Lord Jesus Christ. "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting." Would you agree that many people, and it's not always outside the realm of Christianity, it's not outside the realm of the local church, but many people live in their lives with so much guilt from their former life before they were saved They have so much guilt in their life that they're not really much good to the Lord in the present. They're unfruitful. They're unable to cope with life in this difficult world as we know it today. They live in so much fear and sometimes so much bondage and so much defeat and despair that they can't seem to get ahead spiritually. They feel that something in their past former life has happened, or somewhere they might have lived, or some sin they might have committed, or some act they might have done, or some kind of lifestyle that they might have lived has been so horrendous and horrible and sinful that God just can't forgive me for those things. You ever met anybody like that? I have. Hope not one of them has been you. And so many people feel like God just stands over them like a black cloud and holds up a spiritual ball bat with that thing or that deed or that sin or that act or that lifestyle in his hand, and he's just waiting for the opportune time when he can come down on your life like a spiritual club and destroy you. Many people live like that. Well, if you've been living like that, I've got a message for you. If you've ever lived like that, I've got a message for you. If it's going on in your life today, I have a good message for you about living in fear or guilt from your past life. And I have had people over the many years say things like this to me, "Pastor, you just don't understand where I've been. Pastor, you don't understand what I've done. Pastor, you don't understand how I've lived. The things that's taken place in my life have been so great that God certainly could not forgive me for what I've done or how I've lived." Listen, when you get saved, now hear me well, when you get saved, God doesn't forgive you of all sins but one. God doesn't forgive you of everything in your life but this act, or this deed, or this sin, or this lifestyle, whatever you may be having over your life that may be pondering in your life and just really beating you down. God has forgiven you all your sins, past, present, and future. Now, a lot of folks have a lot of trouble thinking that way, but that's the way it is. God has saved you. If He saved you at all, you've been saved from past, present, and future things in your life. You're already forgiven. We just need to learn to accept God's forgiveness in our own lives. When we refuse to accept God's forgiveness and carry that old guilt complex in our lives, here's what we're saying. We're saying, "Well, I know more than God does. God can forgive me, but I can't forgive myself." So you're saying you know more than God? I don't think so. God forgives us. We need to accept that forgiveness in our lives. When Jesus saved you, He saved you from that thing, that deed, that act, that sin, that lifestyle that you might have been living in. He forgave you of that too. So you need to understand that. God's grace is sufficient. In fact, I'll go a little farther. God's grace is more than sufficient to forgive to the uttermost. What's left after the uttermost? Nothing. God's grace is sufficient to forgive to the uttermost all those who put their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul uses an example here from his own life to share with us about God's grace for past guilt. On occasion or two, Paul mentioned the fact that he didn't even deserve God's grace because he had been such a notorious sinner. But yet God's grace was sufficient for Paul. If God's grace was sufficient for Paul, don't you think it's sufficient for you? If God did it in Paul's life, don't you think He can do it in your life? Don't you think He's willing to do that for you? Take care of that old guilt and that past life? Listen, Paul lived in victory from the day he met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus until the very day he was beheaded for his stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul uses an example here. I want you to look at it with me, kind of briefly, and look at some things in Paul's life that'll help us in our days. See how Paul got the victory, how he walked in victory, and he even died in glorious victory. So Paul uses himself. He doesn't speak of anybody else here but himself. He talks about three things in his life that he wants us to see that'll help us in our lives today. Number one, Paul talks about his past life. Verse 13. He says, who was before? A blasphemer, a persecutor, an injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Paul had a very sordid past life, didn't he? He writes about his life. He opens up his life as an open book to let us see how he lived before he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I doubt that anyone here lived a more notorious sinful life than Paul or the old Saul of Tarsus. If anybody ever had something to hang over their head by way of guilt looming over them, it would have been the Apostle Paul, wouldn't it? The way he had lived, the things he had done. But notice something. Paul didn't live like that. When he came to know Jesus Christ, he never lived like that again. Never. Paul didn't live in fear. Paul didn't live in defeat. Paul didn't live in despair. You can't find a time in the New Testament when Paul ever, to me at least, from what I can study, I've never seen Paul become depressed. Have you? I don't think so. Do you think your life's any worse than the life of the Apostle Paul before Jesus Christ came in his heart? I doubt it very seriously. He talks about his life. He opens up his life, gives us a testimony of his past life. Here's what he says, two things particularly. He says before, he says in verse number 13, I was a profaner. He admitted it. He was a blasphemer of Jesus Christ. The name of Jesus Christ would ever be mentioned, Paul would be the first one to curse the name of Jesus Christ, to profane that wonderful holy name of Jesus Christ. He said, I was a profaner. Paul said, if you'd line up all the people in a line who wants to profane the name of Jesus Christ, he said, I'd have to step to the front of the line. I have profaned, he said, the name of Jesus Christ. But yet, Paul says, Jesus forgave him. Do you think your life was more wicked than the life of the Apostle Paul? I rather doubt it. Paul didn't really excuse himself, did he? From his past life, he said, I was a profaner. If God delivered Paul from his past life, surely he can do it for us. Paul said, in my past life, I was a profaner. Maybe you've lived and your lifestyle has profaned the name of Jesus Christ. Maybe if you're a Christian, you haven't lived like you should have lived. Maybe your life as you're living now might be profaning the very testimony and profession that you've made in Jesus Christ at some point in time in your life. He said, I was a profaner. See, our past is just as real as our present, isn't it? Many things in our past life we won't forget because of how maybe horrendous they might have been. But it's just as real as the present, isn't it? He said, I was a profaner. But then he says something else about himself. He says, I was a persecutor. Persecutor. Now, you know the story. If you don't, if you can go back and read it, you can find it in the book of Acts, chapter 9. Paul records here and other places about his experience of how he persecuted Jesus Christ. He profaned the name of Jesus. He persecuted the church. He wanted himself personally to just stamp out the Christian church from the world in the first century. He wanted the name of Jesus Christ to be eradicated from the face of the earth. So he set about with all that was within him to persecute. And in Acts chapter 9, it goes on to say how Paul was given, we would call today, warrants to arrest people, letters from the high priest and elders. He received warrants or letters and he went on his way toward Damascus to intercept Christians, to arrest them, put them in chains, bring them back to Jerusalem, and if possible, get them executed for the profession they made in Jesus Christ. That's what his profession was, as a persecutor. And he was giving everything he had to do it the best that he could, until on the road to Damascus, he hadn't got to Damascus yet, and he met Jesus Christ. On that road to Damascus, the Lord Jesus shined down upon Saul of Tarsus and saved him, and he became Paul from that moment forward. But he was on a mission to persecute Christians, to stamp out the name of Jesus Christ. And now he meets Jesus, and Jesus saves him. And now the former profaner and the former persecutor was now made a preacher. My, what a change. He said many things about his past life. Let me ask you something. Your past life any worse than Paul's? I doubt it. Doubt it very seriously. But Paul uses himself as an example here. And he says, God's grace came into my life and God saved me. And he supplied the grace to forgive me for all that past life that I was living, all the horrible things that I was doing to try to against the church and against the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, Paul's open and honest about his past life. We've got to be open and honest about our past life. What it was in your life is what it was. What it was in my life is exactly what it was. Don't try to mince any words about it. The past is the past. But Paul doesn't just talk here about his past. He brings us up to speed. He talks about his own present. Look in verse 12, if you will. He said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. He begins in verse 12 just by thanking God through Jesus Christ for the grace that God extended to him and the forgiveness God gave him and the mercy God had upon him. Be a good place for all of us to stop and just begin to thank Jesus, wouldn't it? For the grace He's extended to us. For the mercy He's shown upon us, compassion He's had to us, and His saving grace in our lives. Paul's thankful for his deliverance from his past, but he thanks God for the present victories which are His in and by and through Jesus Christ alone. See Paul's present life as he speaks of it. How he dwells upon the very grace of God. And in another place, Paul said one other time, he said, I am only what I am by the grace of God. And so are we. We're only what we are by the grace of God. You take the grace of God out of my life, you've got a zero left. Take it out of your life and you're a zero. But notice how he dwells on the grace of God. Look at this grace with me. He says, first of all, this was an emancipating grace. Verse 13. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. He mentioned what he was before he met Christ. But he also mentioned, but he obtained mercy. He obtained forgiveness. He obtained grace of God. He said, I did what I did in the past because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Now, did Paul not know what he was doing? Sure, he did. He knew exactly what he was doing when he was going to Damascus to arrest those Christians. He knew what he was doing, but he did it ignorantly in unbelief in Jesus Christ, in his own life. He hadn't been forgiven at that point. Well, he said, but God had mercy on me. God met me. God saved me. God gave me His grace. Jesus, in fact, did meet Paul on the road to Damascus. And he delivered Paul. He emancipated, if you will, Paul. He saved Paul. He redeemed Paul from the past life that he was living and gave him a new life. He freed him, if you will. A lot of folks just need to be free today, amen, from the past. Maybe you know you've been saved, but you're still trying to live that old past life hanging over your life. Listen to me. When Jesus saved you, that's done. That's gone. That's forgiven. It's obliterated, if you will. Jesus said, He cast it as far as the east is from the west, never to remember against you anymore. So why should we remember it against ourselves anymore when He doesn't? Paul said, it's emancipating grace that the Lord gave me. Paul never lived from the Damascus Road experience. He never lived one day in guilt or bondage of what he had done, how he had lived before he met Jesus Christ. That's good news for us. From the day you met Jesus Christ, we should never live again in the thought of that old guilty life that you once lived. It's not there anymore. We need to know something about this emancipating grace, don't we? God emancipates us initially when He saves us. But we're emancipated forever because Jesus' grace has applied. Let me ask you a question. Personally, are you saved? Do you know that you've been saved? Well, you've been delivered from your past life, whatever your past life might have been. Nothing for you to worry about. God's not going to bring some black cloud over your life and destroy you with it today. He's not going to do that. You're free. The Bible also says, if the Son shall make you free. You're free indeed. Look at Paul's life from the day he met Jesus. Would you consider him a free man? I think we all would, unanimously. Paul said this grace was an emancipating grace.
I'm sorry we've run out of time for today, but that was Pastor James Strickland at Sharon Baptist Church. You can find out more about us on our website at SharonBaptistConcord.com or join us for live services tomorrow at 10:45 at the church, 2628 Shady Lane Avenue, right here in Concord, or we live stream as well on Facebook, Sharon Baptist Concord. Now, I got the opportunity to sit down with the pastor. What about people that, I mean, have just, they've really, really sinned so much? I mean, is there hope?
Maybe someone feels that, you know, that they like Paul. Paul said, I was a profaner. And Paul said, I was a persecutor. Indeed, he was. Maybe someone feels today that maybe you have profaned the name of the Lord Jesus by the way you talk, the way you live. Maybe you feel like you have been one who had scorned the Lord Jesus and His church, and is so real in your own life that God wouldn't forgive you. Oh, yes, He would. If He forgave Paul, He'd forgive you. And He has forgiven us. He surely has in Christ Jesus. We'll have more to follow in our next message. But as we conclude this one, let me share this. Don't ever, ever feel that God does not love you. God loves us with an everlasting, enduring, eternal love. It doesn't matter what you've done, how you've lived, what sin you've committed, or what you're doing now. Jesus Christ loved you enough to go to the cross and give His life, shed His blood to cover your sins. And that guilt that you may be experiencing now can be relieved if you'll trust the Lord Jesus Christ and admit you're a sinner. You know He loves you. He said He did. He promised He did. He never, ever failed to keep a promise He made. And so He loves you. He's there waiting for you now. You must reach out to Him. He's there for you. If you'll just reach out and just admit that you're a sinner and ask Him to forgive you of your sins, come into your heart and life and be your Lord and Savior, He will do just exactly what He said. And you too can be guilt-free, as was the Apostle Paul. Thank God for His marvelous grace for past guilt.
Please join us next week or find out more about us on our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com. God bless you.